welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports fan's perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith, Andrew McInnes, and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy.
And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network, Tuesday, December 7th. Ian Cameron and Alex B. Smith with you. We should be joined by Andrew McInnes momentarily as well. We're ready for a Tuesday NHL card, featuring plenty of games as usual on a Tuesday. Looking forward to it. We have, it looks like, 10 games on the slate. We're looking forward to breaking those down. Just briefly want to touch on the couple of the games last night. We saw two teams, of course, with coaching changes. It worked out well for one team, not so well for the other. And you can pretty much predict which one it did work out well for and which one it didn't. We said, you know, the Flyers are playing a damn good Avalanche team. Mike Yeo saying, you know, if we're going to get out of our goal-scoring drought, we got to push tempo, really move the puck faster, better, play with pace. Yeah, and play with fire, you get burned. And that's what you do against the Colorado Avalanche. And Alex kind of hinted at that yesterday. Yeah, they did generate some goals. Yeah, they did get a little offense. But, yeah, it's no good when you're giving up 6-7 at the other end. Like the Flyers did last night to Colorado. So very, very good game from a betting perspective for me as someone that I took a small shot on the Flyers. That's the only thing I lost in that game. But the first period over, the full game over, I bet that both teams to score plus 150 in the first period. That got there. So that definitely turned out to be a good result. And to be honest with you, it looked like it was a good result and a good night for not only me, but everybody that watched and listens to the show on a daily basis. And it feels like more and more when the hosts, Andrew and Alex and Jimmy and I, have a good day and a good night betting NHL, a lot of our viewers and listeners do as well. I'm seeing Chris Otto at PSU Otto having a big night last night. Terry Edelman had a great betting night in the NHL last night. Melissa, usually when she has a good night, so do we. I mean, and it's just, you know, kind of like we're giving you the info and the recommendations, but you know, it's up to you guys to decide whether to tail them or fade them or what to do on your own. And it seems like, it feels like, you know, when we have good nights, so do you, listening to the show and watching the show. So it's really, really good to see a night like last night. I do want to say, on the positive side of the teams playing their first game with the new coach, the Vancouver Canucks, a very, very impressive, just business-like, workman-like performance, taking care of business against the LA Kings, a 4-0 shutout win. You know, I saw a lot of energy. I saw players, you know, really playing well on both sides of the puck, about as good a defensive game as I've seen the Canucks play in a while, which was really good to see. You like that finally you saw some offense from this team as well. And the honeymoon is on for Bruce Boudreau here already at night one as the Vancouver Canucks head coach. Could it have started any better? He has one of the more entertaining introductory press conferences that you'll ever see. I mean, that's the one thing with Bruce, and you can criticize the lack of playoff success in the past. You can't criticize him for being dull and boring. Okay. He's entertaining. He's a colorful character, and he was full of wit and rapier-like wit and humor at his press conference yesterday. And how about one of the things he said, Alex, during that press conference, talking about Brock Besser specifically, saying, you know, Brock Besser, I talked to him, you know, I remember when you played against my teams in Minnesota, your first game in the league, you scored 2 goals against us. You know, when we didn't have a clue who you were, we want you to get back to shooting the puck, you know, shoot the puck more to get out of the slump that Brock Besser's in. And wouldn't you know it, the very first goal of last night's game against the Kings and the very first goal for the Vancouver Canucks of the Bruce Boudreau era scored by Brock Besser. You talk about just a perfect night one and game one for Bruce Boudreau behind the bench. Not only does he win his first game, he's basically saying in this first press conference, Brock's got to shoot the puck more and he'll have more success. And sure enough, he scores the very first goal of the game. I mean, you can't script that shit. I mean, it's unbelievable, surreal that that happened and played out that way. But credit to the Canucks. It was definitely a much more spirited effort from this team. And you wonder now, does this team have a run in them? Do they have that not just that first win with the new coach, do they have the chance to go on a little bit of a streak now moving forward? That ends up being the big question. I like the little jab he had at his goaltending from the Minnesota Wild days during the press conference too, Alex. You'll appreciate it as someone that's living in Minnesota. Terry Edelman, Minnesota Wild fan extraordinaire, will appreciate it when he said, you know, a couple of years ago when I was dismissed in Minnesota, we were actually not a bad defensive team. We were number one in the league in fewest high danger chances allowed. Problem is we were 31st in save percentage, and he was not a good combination. Yeah, blame Devin Dubnyk and Alex Stalock for that. That's what I was saying on Twitter. But Alex, what were your thoughts on last night?
Well, one, we got to give props to you for absolutely crushing the exact score of that Dallas-Arizona game, 4-1 Stars. So whoever tailed, I'm sure I don't even know what the odds were for that, but it had to be something pretty significant. So kudos to you, Ian, for hitting that. But just like I said, some interesting games yesterday. Obviously, like I said, the Vancouver game, you couldn't have had that any better. What, three nights ago, they were throwing their jerseys on the ice, and then next thing you know, they're giving the team a standing ovation. So, you know, it seems like I said, things might turn around sooner than later. I don't think it's going to be enough to get back into the playoff race. A lot of stuff going on in the Pacific now with San Jose and Anaheim still playing decent. But you look at the flip side with Minnesota, I say Minnesota because of Philadelphia, the old Minnesota connection of Fletcher and Yo back together. And I said it, I'm like, Mike Yo's really going to try and run pace against one of the faster teams in the league. And what do we see at the first period? 4-3. So if you had any kind of over, team total, full game, first period, all of it cash. I wish I was watching that game closer because I would have been hitting the live goals. The way that they were scoring that second half of that first period, if you're betting next to score or just betting the live in-game total over, you probably could have cashed 2-3-plus prices in a row. So that's one thing, like you said, you know, hopefully you guys are winning when we're winning. But hopefully you're definitely taking in some of this kind of information and some of the, you know, tactics we use to really zone in with these live plays. And that's what's going to be huge, I think, moving into the second half of the season. Lines will get tighter once the bookmakers stop focusing on football, stop focusing on you know, some of these early basketball tournaments and different things. And, you know, we'll still be able to find value in money lines and size. But in-game wagering has really become, I mean, it's a big staple of mine. I would say 40% of my plays this year have been, you know, live wagers, and that seems to be the future of the sport as far as from a profitable way of wagering. So that's something to keep a note of.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it. Definitely a situation where, you know, live betting is definitely the way to take advantage in the NHL. I mean, there's just so many great opportunities. It's betting maybe the superior team if they have a sluggish start, they're down a goal, and all of a sudden a favorite becomes a plus price, you know, in live betting. And it's just totals, slow start in the first period. Someone mentioned this to me the other day, or it was actually last week. He has been having success blindly betting. Now you'd maybe want to, you know, tread lightly. That's not always going to work, but games that have a 0-0 or 1-0 first period, which means an under 1.5 in the first period, you bet over 1.5 in the second period. And you find he's doing really well with those kind of betting situations. So keep an eye on that.
Oh, yeah. There was last year, I would say, let's go back to 18, 19, the end of that, or 19, 20, before the pandemic stoppage. If I lost the first period over, I pretty much went back either second period over or the team that was trailing to score next and pretty much would cash that. It was at a ridiculous clip. So even if I took a loss with the first period over, I could adjust and get at least half of my money back betting something in the second. So that's the thing. Some things lend to deeper trends that you won't be able to find that, you know, they'll be hard to chart, honestly. You know, like I said, you know, Chris Otto doing the Lord's work by charting everything individually for period to period. To try to chart, you know, who's down after 20, but then they come back to tie the game in the second. That would be, you know, you'd be picking straw out of gum, basically. So this is definitely, definitely, you know, something that we try to just, you know, pinpoint on our own, and we make our own little notes, and that's what we try to bring to everybody.
Yeah, no question. And like I say, I'm going to keep an eye on that personally. I have been, and I've noticed that slow, sluggish, low-scoring starts to the game, particularly in the first period. A lot of times that turns around, second period especially. So definitely want to keep that in mind. So yes, hit the like button. We appreciate it. Everybody watching on YouTube, it helps us out quite a bit. And I do want to mention what Terry Edelman brought up in the chat. Clever by the Canucks fans. Down the stretch of that game, tag teams, epic hit from the 90s, Whoop There It Is, was played at Rogers arena last night in Vancouver, and they turned it into Bruce, there it is. Bruce, there it is. Very, very clever. And the end of that 4-0 victory last night. So the Canucks are more than a little bit stoked to have Bruce Boudreau as their head coach. Like I say, it's a honeymoon phase right now. They win the first game. They shut out the LA Kings. We'll see if they can turn that into a little bit of a roll and a hot streak moving forward. But we'll get to them. They're back in action tomorrow night, and we'll talk Vancouver tomorrow on the Wednesday show. Let's get to Tuesday's card. We'll start with Tampa Bay, Montreal. Tampa Bay minus 210, road favorites in this game. 5.5 shaded to the under, the total in this one between these two teams. This will be the first head-to-head meeting of the regular season between the Lightning and Canadiens, which means it's the first meeting since their Stanley Cup final series last year in July. So revenge for Montreal? Hell no. Not for me. Not for this better. Not with this ravaged, depleted Montreal lineup at the moment. Jake Allen in net, but man, I mean, the issues with this team from a injury and COVID-19 standpoint, they're absolutely immense right now for the Montreal Canadiens. Yoel Armia, Jeff Petrie, Josh Anderson, Joel Edmondson, Brendan Gallagher, Tyler Toffoli, and of course, Shea Weber all year's been out, but that's who you're missing tonight if you're the Montreal Canadiens. That is just a huge group of player personnel, really both ends of the puck. Offensively, key forwards are out. You're just absolutely riddled with injuries and absences now on the blue line. Defensively, you're going into tonight's game with your six defensemen looking like Ben Chiarot, David Savard, Alex Romanov, Chris Weidman, and then your third pair is a real big fall off in terms of experience and really ability, to be quite honest with you, because I've never been a Brett Kulak fan. Everybody knows that. Going back to the playoffs last year when I don't think he played all that great. He's playing with Cale Clegg. You know, that's your third pairing tonight for the Montreal Canadiens on the blue line. So just a gutted, riddled with injuries, key ones on the blue line. There's a lot of production missing up front. Good news for Montreal, though, is at least Ryan Poehling, since he's been called up to the team, 4 goals for him since he's been called up. Nick Suzuki, you know, has found a little offense lately for the Montreal Canadiens. Well, they're going to need them and more to hang with this Tampa Bay team. I think it's going to be difficult. The Lightning have won 3 in a row, beating St. Louis, Boston, and just routing Philadelphia, which led to the exit for Alain Vigneault on Sunday. That 7-1 beatdown the Lightning, handed out to the Flyers in that game. I've been impressed with the Lightning too, because look, they're without some key personnel up front. We've talked about how, you know, obviously they've been without Kucherov for a bit. They're still without Braden Point, but Stamkos has really carried the mantle. Anthony Cirelli has stepped up in the number 2 center spot. And all of a sudden you're getting some depth scoring as well. Corey Perry is starting to find the lamp, light the lamp. Maroon is, even though your Boris Kachuks of the world are scoring a little bit now for Tampa Bay from a fourth line on this hockey team. So definitely you're impressed with how the forward group has collectively stepped up, because you're not supposed to lose a Kucherov and a Point, you know, and just be able to still be able to chug along and score goals at a pretty solid clip. But the Tampa Bay Lightning are doing that right now. This is just a ravaged Montreal team. The only way I would go here is the -1.5 at +120 Tampa Bay puck line. I'm going to actually take a rare puck line here. Ian puck line, not Jimmy. Tampa Bay -1.5, +120 in this one. And certainly from a totals perspective, look, you're not going to see me betting unders with a team that's got cluster absences on the blue line like Montreal has right now. And that could be trouble against Tampa. So I would only go over 5.5. Your smaller bet for me on the over as well in this one. Alex, your thoughts here? Lightning and Habs.
Yeah, we got pretty much the same idea going. What I like here is the team total over 3.5 with Tampa Bay at +115. I saw it as high as +125 at one book. I think that's astronomical, because look at how Montreal's played. And I know Andrew mentioned this a couple of weeks ago about how if the Habs score 3 or more goals, you know, chances are they're going to win the game. They're 6-2 in that spot. When they score 2 or fewer, that's pretty much all of their losses. So you got to look at that and say, okay, right, 5.5, that you kind of count on them to at least get 1, maybe 2. But it feels like, you know, you're more likely to get that total because of Tampa Bay scoring 3 or 4. And also they're trending to the first period over, even though they're full season numbers have been good. 6-4 in their last 10. I think there's some good value getting the over 1.5 at even money. So I'm going to go Bolts team total over 3.5, and I'll go first period over.
All right. So that's a Tampa Bay team total for Alex over 3.5. You can get that at plus a price, and a Tampa Bay Montreal first period over 1.5 in this one, which is right around even money. So pretty good price with that as well. All right, New York Islanders, Ottawa Senators. We've got the New York Islanders minus 145 on the road here in the Canadian nation's capital. 5.5 the total, shaded to the under in this game. This is one game I've got, I'm not involved in tonight. There's not many that I've got absolutely nothing going into the game from a betting standpoint, but this is one of those games. I'm just not comfortable yet laying this kind of number on the road with the Islanders. I got to see them win a game. You know, right now this team is still finding ways to lose. Gut-wrenching each of the last three games. I mean, they were right there to finally snap this just awful losing skid that they're on, but lose to San Jose in overtime, lose to Detroit in overtime, and then lose to Chicago in a shootout on Sunday. I mean, they're right there. They're just right there, the New York Islanders, with chances galore to finally snap this drought and snap this losing streak. But right now, it's just not happening for the Islanders. It's just the offense has had a really tough time, you know, scoring goals during this 11-game losing streak. You know, the COVID-19 outbreak set them back, the long road trip before their brand-new arena got opened, UBS Arena, set them back early in the year as well. So this is definitely a team that's just had a shit ton of issues to sort through. And it's hard to put a good product on the ice when you've got a long road trip to begin the year. It's endless. It's over a month. And then, of course, you get just dealt the COVID-19 blow that they did, you know, ravaging the roster. And they still don't have everybody back. There are still a couple guys that are still out, although they're more injury-related now. Pulock, the defenseman, Ryan Pulock, and Brock Nelson's not coming back until later this month at the very least. So definitely an issue right now with back and then trusting this Islanders team on the road. It is back-to-back for Ottawa tonight. 3-2 shootout win against New Jersey. And I said, you know, New Jersey can't be laying minus 180 last night. And sure enough, it played out that way. Ottawa, nice big dog winner for me with that game as they get the win in the shootout against the New Jersey Devils 3-2. Disappointing, though, that the best bet on the show was the over in that game, and it fell short. Only, you know, two losses last night. One of them was the show best bet. So I was frustrated about that. But nevertheless, credit to Ottawa now. Three in a row. Remember, they just couldn't win a game to save their lives when they came out of their own COVID pause. You know, it was a really rough start. The losses to Colorado, San Jose, Anaheim, LA, that terrible loss to Vancouver. DJ Smith kind of called the team out. We're going to see what we're made of, who's tough mentally, physically. And sure enough, since then, they've beaten Carolina, Colorado, and Jersey. Three straight wins, but second night of back-to-back games, it is a little bit tricky here. I am going to have a small bet on the over here, just because of the strong series history with these two teams. 7-1 to the over in the last eight meetings, four straight overs in Ottawa. I know this Islander team can't put a puck in the ocean right now. That concerns me, but my goodness, if it's ever going to happen, right? It's an Ottawa defense that's not great. Second of back-to-back. Goaltending that's marginal at best right now, regardless of Gustafson or Forsberg in net for Ottawa. So that's the small bet here. Again, over 5.5. I can't go more than that because I don't love where the Islander offense is, which is in the tank right now. But nevertheless, if there's ever going to be a night where you can say maybe the Islanders can get their offense ignited, it's got to be maybe a night like tonight here against a suspect Senator D. And I think Ottawa can contribute maybe to the scoreboard. So just tiny bet over 5.5 for me in this game. I said I wasn't going to bet it, but I will bet that at the over 5.5 just because of that series history, which is very, very strong. And let's be honest, Ottawa at a 5.5 is tough to pass that up when it comes to over right now. Alex, what do you think here? Isles and Sens.
Well, I was happy with that Senators game last night because I had the draw. I was able to cash that at plus 345.
Oh, yeah, great call. Yes.
Yeah, so I felt that, you know, that was a good move. And I might go right back to the well here with that. I wouldn't be shocked. Like I said, obviously the Islanders are in the poorest of form. And then this is the Ottawa team, like I said, kind of, you know, chipping away victories, but they still aren't really playing great hockey. You know, like I said, that win, they needed the overtime to shoot out to wrap things up. But I just feel like this could be one of those games that said we should be getting an effort from the Islanders at some point. They want to turn this thing around. They figure Ottawa's a bad enough team in the, you know, their mind they could beat them, even being shorthanded. I could see this being a close game, maybe a 2-2 or 3-3. And once again, we cash with that draw in 60 minutes. So plus 320, I'll go with the draw.
Of course, we have college football bowl season coming up. This is the COVID-19 bowl. right here. Islanders and the Senators are the two teams that have had a little shutdown this year and a pause on their season because of it. So that's the commonality, the common thread with these two teams facing off tonight. Columbus Blue Jackets, Toronto Maple Leafs. We've got Toronto minus 250, home favorite, 6 the total in this one. There's another team where the injuries are mounting a little bit for this Toronto team. Injuries/suspensions. Of course, it got a little rough toward the end of the Winnipeg-Toronto game on Sunday night. And of course, in that game, Neil Pionk suspended 2 games for the knee on Rasmus Sandin, a defenseman for the Leafs, who's actually played, I think, a lot better. Good puck mover, really skates well, plays on the power play for this team. Sometimes he's a little bit, you know, undersized and, you know, gets pushed around in front of the net. You know, he's got to improve a little bit in terms of, you know, defensive parts of his game, but there's a lot of things to like about Rasmus Sandin and his game on that blue line. So missing him for the Leafs will be significant. And the big news is Mitch Marner, which this little injury now that he's suffered is not so little anymore. It's going to mean a lot of time out now for Mitch Marner with the shoulder injury. He just had an MRI and now he's going to be out for upwards of a month. They're estimating 3 to 4 weeks for this absence for Mitch Marner. So disappointing for the Leafs, definitely, just as they're starting to play some terrific hockey. They're surging. They have this terrific run. And now all of a sudden, there's the little speed bump. The injuries are mounting. You know, Sandin's out. Marner is out for this team. Travis Dermott, the blue liner, is not going to play tonight. There's a good chance Jason Spezza is not playing if he gets suspended for the retaliatory hit that he laid on Neil Pionk in that Jets game. So it could be a short-handed Leaf bunch tonight. So the injuries mounting, maybe a suspension to Spezza, and now they've lost 2 games in a row to Winnipeg and Minnesota over the weekend. It does, in theory, look like a solid bounce-back spot, but I'm not going to lay minus 250 with a team that's going to be a little bit short-handed tonight, coming off a couple road games over the weekend like the Leafs. The question is, can you trust Columbus? And this team had lost 4 in a row before beating San Jose 6-4 on the weekend. I mean, this team has definitely had their struggles defensively, the Jackets, in recent games. I could maybe see that starting up here. Again, with the absences for Toronto, you never know how it's going to translate on the ice. Is it going to make them worse offensively? Is it going to make them worse defensively, you know, going into tonight? But one thing I've seen with the Leafs here is, you know, their defensive game just has slipped ever so slightly the last 2 games against Minnesota and against Winnipeg. And in fact, now they've given up 3-plus goals in 3 straight games. And to me, I think they can get 3-plus goals against Columbus when you look at this game, because the Jackets really are having a tough time defensively. And they've had a tough time against some teams that don't have the offensive skill, talent, and depth that the Leafs do. So even with the injury concerns to the Leafs, I am going to go over 6 here, plus 100. Nothing on the side, but we'll get in on the over in this game for me between the Jackets and Leafs. Alex, Columbus, Toronto.
Yeah, I'm like the over 2, but I'm going to go first period with it, only laying $1.25 with that 1.5. We've seen Columbus 7 of the last 10 go over. And like I said, we might see more of a decline defensively with Toronto, even though they still will have some offensive punch. But like I said, it could be more that it's 2-0 Columbus as opposed to 2-0 Toronto or 1-1 game. So you might even want to look Columbus money line in the first period too. But I like that first period over a bit more.
All right, next up we've got Nashville and Detroit. Nashville minus 120, road favorites, 5.5 the total, shaded to the under in this game. The Predators coming off an overtime win against Montreal, 4-3. The pattern lately has been loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win for the Nashville Predators. They've had a difficult time stringing 2 wins in a row lately. We'll see if they can break that trend tonight against Detroit, who have suddenly won 5 in a row going into this game. 3 of them in overtime against Buffalo, Seattle, and the Islanders. They had the upset win against Boston, and I was on the Red Wings as a big dog in that one, and I know Jimmy really liked Detroit in that game against the Bruins that night. And they also had a nice home win against St. Louis. And don't look now, the Red Wings have actually won 4 straight on home ice going into tonight's game against the Nashville Predators. Yeah, 5-0, sorry, in their last 5 home games. So they've suddenly been enjoying life in the pizza box here at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. It's Detroit or pass for me. I mean, you can't trust Nashville's just, you know, going win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Nashville has played better, you know, in terms of the head-to-head series history. It's been pretty heavy in favor of Nashville, 4 straight over Detroit head-to-head. I don't know if I'll bet it. Don't know if I'll get there. Because with Detroit, as much as I look for spots to bet them, I'm looking for Detroit. I want some bang for my buck when I bet Detroit. You know what I mean? I like betting them when they're getting plus 140, plus 150, or the plus 180 like they were getting against Boston, where when they go and play those, you know, upper echelon teams, or that side when I find we really get sometimes the best effort and performance from this Detroit Red Wings team. So I just don't love the value here, but certainly it would be Detroit or pass for me in this game, and it's probably going to be pass personally. What do you think here, Alex? Preds and Red Wings?
Yeah, if I had to play anything here, it would be Detroit. I agree with you completely as far as, you know, you want to get a bigger plus price with them. But I just feel like they're, you know, just like I said, the current forms, I would take Detroit more, you know, here in this spot than I would more often than I would Nashville. So like I said, I probably would add this to my card. It won't be like a you know, it wouldn't be a big client play. It's probably a half unit selection if I were grading it like that. So I'll go with Detroit.
All right. Detroit is about plus 110, plus 115 is what we're looking at here with the Detroit Red Wings here as home dogs. Definitely I'm looking as well at Lucas Raymond goal scorer prop tonight. That is a bet that I've already made 3 in the last 5 games. In terms of goals for Lucas Raymond, he's got 7 points in the last 10 games. So whatever you can find for Lucas Raymond props for the Detroit Red Wings tonight, whether it's goal scorer prop, whether it's to record a point, to score a point, I think both of those are definitely worth looking at here. He's a great player. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got all the tools right now for this Red Wings team. Playmaker, you got 12 assists on the year to go with the 10 goals on the season in 25 games. I mean, you're talking about almost a point per game clip for Lucas Raymond this year, 22 points in 25 games for the Red Wings. So they got a player, no question about that, in Lucas Raymond. All right, we got Anaheim and Buffalo next up. Anaheim minus 120, road favorites here, the total 6. Pretty much even money, slightly shaded to the under in this one. Back-to-back for the Ducks. I did lean to Anaheim. I did not end up betting Anaheim last night. I'm kind of glad I didn't bet Anaheim, but tough if you had Anaheim. Not only did Anaheim go to a shootout with Washington, they were leading in the shootout, and it looked like they were going to win the shootout. And then Washington tied it on the third shooter for Washington, tied it in the shootout, and then they ended up winning in the extra rounds of the shootout. So really tough if you took a shot with the big dog there, Anaheim, last night in that 4-3 shootout loss to Washington. Anaheim's now gone over the total in 5 straight games. I mean, here's another one like Seattle. These are the two teams out west, Alex. When you think of Anaheim or Seattle coming into the season, Alex, did you say, well, these teams, you're going to bet some overs with this team, these two teams, and you're going to win a lot? I didn't think that. I didn't think that about Anaheim. I didn't think that about Seattle coming into this season. And here we are, Anaheim, 5 straight overs going into the game tonight. And now after last night's over cash with Pittsburgh and Seattle, Seattle's now 13-3 to the over in their last 16 games. So these are two unexpected over-trending teams, and it's been that way for Anaheim. Why has it been that way? Well, first of all, their defense and goaltending, I don't think it's at the level it was last year. But what's a lot better than it was last year? Their offensive side of the puck. I mean, my goodness, with the young talent they've got, it's been impressive. And what's been impressive, too, is Getzlaff didn't play. Henrique didn't play last night in the game against Washington. They're still scoring goals. I'm impressed with Dallas Eakins juggling the lines. He's got a good temperature of the team. He knows who to elevate. He knows who to bring in, you know, in the top 6 forward role when he's got some injuries. It worked out well with Sonny Milano so far up there on a top 6 forward role. Rickard Rakell has kind of stepped up lately, you know, with some of these other absences up front. So it's been impressive to see Anaheim still be able to score, even without their captain Getzlaff and Henrique, and of course, Zegras and Terry. It goes without saying what great young forwards they've got for a long period of time with those two in the future. Buffalo, on the other hand, just continues to struggle to win games, 1-8 in their last 9 games. The only win was against Montreal, 4-1 at home. Montreal team that's one of the worst right now in the NHL. So it's been a struggle here for this Buffalo team. They've trended over. They're 6-2 to the over in the last 8 games. And by the way, the overs 5 straight have cashed to the over for Anaheim on the second night of back-to-back games as well. You look at the series history, that is 4-2 to the over in the last 6 head-to-head meetings. It looks like for Anaheim tonight, we should see Anthony Stolarz in net after Gibson got the call last night. He's actually been all right, Stolarz, in net. But I think he'll give up a couple because, you know, again, we talk about this all the time. The team on the second night of back-to-back games, especially on the road, they're a little bit fatigued defensively. You could see that show up tonight. And on the other side, Anaheim should be good to score a few goals tonight against this Buffalo team, who will be going with the young kid up from the AHL. Again, we saw him start a few games last year. Ukko-Pekka will be in net here for Buffalo. Ukko-Pekka is his first name, by the way. It's Ukko-Pekka, and then Luukkonen is his last name. See, I used for the, when I first, you know, when he first got that first start last year for Buffalo, I was calling him Ukko, and then Pekka Luukkonen. I thought the last name was hyphenated. No, okay. First name is hyphenated. Yeah. It's Ukko-Pekka, and then Luukkonen is the last name. So Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen here for the Buffalo Sabres. Kind of feel sounds like pick a pack of pickled peppers whenever you try to say that 10 times fast. There. Right. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, yeah. But he'll be in net tonight for the Buffalo Sabres, the young Finn. Look, he just got, I think, AHL Player of the Week or something down with the Rochester team. So he had a good week, but his overall AHL numbers this year actually aren't very good, to be honest. In the AHL level for the entire year, he has a 3.42 goals against average and .888 save percentage. And now he's got to come up here and play in the NHL tonight, start against this Anaheim Ducks team, which again, is scoring goals. We didn't think that coming into the year, but they have been a much improved offensive team. So for me, it's over the total here of six between the Ducks and the Sabres. We've been on these Buffalo overs for a while. Anaheim's gone over in four straight. And even with the back-to-back on the road, Alex, I'm taking Anaheim -120. I just think it's cheaper. They're the better squad right now. I think even after the tough loss last night, there's enough there for Anaheim against just a weak team defensively right now for the Sabres. A very, very suspect, you know, unknown in net. Not that he's an unknown, but I have my doubts he's going to play well with some of the numbers I'm seeing from Luukkonen in the AHL level. So Anaheim -120, over six for me in this Ducks-Sabres game. Alex, Anaheim-Buffalo.
Yeah, that's the same way I'm looking to with the over for the full game. Like I said, you know, Anthony Stolarz has been decent, 3-2-1 with a 2.82 goals against. He's certainly not, you know, showing the signs of you know, just he's like letting goals in before when he had limited duty. Backing up John Gibson, he's turned into a true solid number two goaltender. He's not going to be a guy where if Gibson gets hurt all of a sudden, he can be elevated to the one status and really do some damage. I think that's where we would start to see him wear down. But as a true number two in an era where most teams have 1A, 1B, Stolarz is a good option. And like I said, Luukkonen, he's, you know, called up by necessity because they brought Malcolm Subban in. He looked terrible. We already know about Aaron Dell. No Tokarski, no Anderson. So it's up to the goalie of the future to do something right now for Buffalo, but I don't think that's a chance. So I'm with Ian. I'm going to go full game over six. I'm also going to go Ducks -$1.20. Stay away from regulation because this could easily be a game that goes like 3-3 in overtime.
Yeah, I think Anaheim, it could be a one-goal game. Wouldn't shock me. I mean, this is not, you know, the best scheduling spot in the world for the Ducks, no question. And Buffalo's, you know, a little bit more rested. They've been off and they're sitting waiting there for Anaheim since Saturday. When they played against Carolina. So definitely a scheduling edge for Buffalo, but that's also factored into the number and the price. That's why you're getting a reasonable price with Anaheim. The schedule, I think, has been baked into this line, and that's why it's cheap here for Anaheim. And I still think, like I say, they can get the job done here in this one. And I think you'll get a good effort from Anaheim because they've lost two in a row. You know, I don't think they take Buffalo lightly here after two straight losses. All right, Florida and St. Louis now. We've got Florida -160. Road favorites, six the total in some spots, 6.5, though, at the majority of books right now. So make sure you shop around if you're going to bet the total in this game. Obviously, there is plenty of concerns here for the Blues. They're a little bit banged up right now. Jordan Binnington, their top number one goalie, remains on IR. David Perron is out. Robert Thomas is out. Justin Falk on the blue line is out. Tyler Bozak, a great two-way center for the Blues, is also out for this team. I mean, that's some key personnel that you have MIA tonight if you're St. Louis. That's probably the reason for the line move, but the even bigger reason for the line move is the likely return of the captain of your Florida Panthers, Alexander Barkov, tonight from injury. That has definitely played a part in this line being driven up. And this is a rare situation where you rarely see this. You have an Eastern Conference team versus a Western Conference team playing a back-to-back against each other. You know, you don't see that very often, but they played over the weekend in Florida. Florida got the 4-3 win in a shootout over St. Louis. St. Louis has gone over the total in four straight. Florida's gone over in three straight. I hate to be a broken record, but I understand why the total's going up here. It feels like we could see some goals. 6.5, though, with St. Louis. I kind of want to pump the brakes a little bit. It is getting up there, but I mean, Florida's still scoring goals, and now they're going to have Barkov back. So I think definitely you're going to see some offense here. I certainly understand the move to Florida, but here's the problem now. Now it's minus 160. If you got in on Florida at minus 115 or minus 120, minus 130, minus 140, hell, any price before it got to the point where it is now, good on you. Great bet. Good price. Good luck. Wish you all the best. I'm not laying minus 160 now, and here's another reason why I'm not doing that. It's that old dreaded angle that we've seen rear its ugly head this year. The top player comes back for the team, and in the first game, they all slough off. They all think, oh, we got our guy back. We got Barkov back. Or if you're Colorado, we have McKinnon back. Or if you're Pittsburgh, we have Crosby back here. First game, we're going to go out there and just roll, and we're going to win. And what happened for each of those instances? First game back for Crosby with Pittsburgh, they hold an L. Colorado, first game back with McKinnon, they hold an L. I'm worried about that. I mean, we've seen this just time and time and time again. It's a real thing, and we've seen it play out in the National Hockey League the last couple weeks. First game with the top player back, one of the best players, whoever it may be, and that team often struggles to win in these spots. So that's the one thing holding me back, plus the price move. So lean Florida, but I'm passing on the side, and I'll probably just stick to a small bet on the over here. Again, 6, 6.5, depending on which book you're using for this game. Alex, what do you think here, Panthers and Blues?
So I grabbed this yesterday at -$1.30. I just thought that was a fairly cheap price, and I knew it was going to kind of go up toward that 145, 150 because of the fact that you've got no Bennington in net for St. Louis. You're going with Huso as the starter. Lindgren is the backup, Charlie Lindgren. So now the way I would probably attack this if you didn't get the -130 would be either you could go with Florida regulation. I feel that that's perfectly fine. I think they should be able to take care of business within 60 minutes. You could also possibly go for St. Louis to score first because we've seen Florida get off to some slow starts at times. Bet St. Louis now to score their first goal. And then just in game, grab a better money line price with Florida. Maybe even grab Florida to score the next goal. And then that takes care of the high price you've seen with the first period over. I was talking about how there's better ways to get the same kind of bet in, but at a different price. That's the best way to probably bet the first period over. Either both teams to score in the first or go with St. Louis to score first, bet Florida to win and Florida to score next goal in game.
All right, good. That's good advice. I like that strategy for a game like this, definitely with Florida and St. Louis. And like I say, with Alex on this show, the one thing you're going to get from him a lot here on the Ice Guys is really good methodology, strategy, and ways to really try to beat the live market, live betting market in the NHL. And there's definitely some creative ways that you can definitely go about it. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jarek. The Christmas tree is got to have something Christmassy in the background. It is December after all. Melissa, your point's well taken. Huso did play well. And that's another reason I like the over tonight. Yeah. Huso had this outlier, outstanding performance. What, 50 shots or close to it? Against Florida on Saturday. I mean, he was terrific. He's the only thing that held the Blues in the game, and he's the reason they got a point in that game. He's the reason it got beyond regulation in that Saturday afternoon affair. I was watching it because I was on the over in that game, and we needed that late Florida goal, 3-3, to get there with it. But he was magnificent, and it's kind of like the Vemelka theory with Arizona. These guys that have these one great starts when they're kind of mediocre goalies, they fall back flat on their face the next game, and maybe that happens tonight.
And you have a situation, too, with a guy who's technically a backup goalie getting another start against the same team he faced earlier. We have another situation about that coming up later, but sometimes when you see that happen, you know, those teams remember, hey, this is what we need to do to beat him. This is why, you know, 45, 50 shots. That means, you know, the Florida's got just as much information on trying to figure things out by, you know, maybe changing some things just as much as he's so, you know, facing those 50 shots. He's not going to see the same quality of those 50 shots, I guarantee, if there is that many tonight. So that's something to keep in mind when you see a backup facing a team again for the second time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So interesting rematch situation. Like I say, you don't usually see an East versus West rematch back-to-back games, but we have one here, Panthers and Blues. All right, we go to Carolina and Winnipeg now. Even money pretty much both sides here, minus 110, 5.5 the total, shaded to the over in this game. It's not been really, it's probably the first full-fledged slump, I guess you could say, of the season for the Carolina Hurricanes. They've definitely had a rough patch here, 2-5 in their last seven games, and the victories were Philadelphia and Buffalo. Like, that's the thing with Carolina. It's not only been a slump, but the only two victories were two teams that can't get out of their own way right now, the Flyers and the Sabres, during this little bit of a skid for the Hurricanes. And injuries have mounted. We've talked about they've been without two of their six starting defensemen for a while now, and D'Angelo and Pesci, they remain out indefinitely. You're now had an injury recently, the last game, to Svechnikov as well. But good news on that front. He's going to play and be in the lineup tonight against Winnipeg. So obviously key top six forward, one of your best scorers, one of your best offensive players, bar none, Andrei Svechnikov, and he'll be in the lineup tonight for the Hurricanes here in this game. For Winnipeg, you know, they've turned it around a little bit. Three of their last four, they've won, beating Calgary, beating New Jersey, beating Toronto on Sunday. And the offense has come to life again. 14 goals in the two games over the weekend for the Jets in the victories against the Devils and the Leafs. You had to figure, and I certainly did, that it was only a matter of time before Winnipeg started to light the lamp a little bit. You know, when you have players of the caliber of Mark Scheifele and Nikolaj Ehlers and Kyle Connor, and certainly it's been a great resurgence season for Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, as a team, you're not going to stay ice cold, you know, at the offensive end of the ice indefinitely. And now we're seeing the Winnipeg Jets really start to get their offense humming a little bit here as of late in these last couple of victories they've had. So we'll see if that can carry over to this game here tonight. You look at series history, four of the last six have been won by the Winnipeg Jets in this game. I lean Carolina here, though. I do. I don't know if I want to go. It's just a lean. I don't know if I'll get involved in this game. I lean over. I lean Winnipeg, because the one thing about Winnipeg now, they're starting to crank up the home overs again. And for the entire season, they're 8-5 over the total, Winnipeg on home ice. So they do have a profitable record. The total's only 5.5. I certainly am interested in the over. Probably will bet that. As far as a side goes, I lean to Carolina, because I'll say this about the Jets, even though they've won three of the last four and they won back-to-back at home over the weekend, the Devils are slumping right now. That was one of the wins. It couldn't have been a worse spot, Alex, for Toronto on Sunday. That Minnesota game on Saturday, Leafs and Wild, was a very intense, high-energy, high-paced game. Took a lot out of you, a game like that. It went to a shootout. Minnesota won it. And then you're on the second of back-to-back games on the road, and it was just a tough situation for the Leafs. Credit to the Jets. They took advantage of it. But they're good wins, but they got bad spots for both teams, I think, in those games, the Devils and the Leafs. That's not going to be the case here. It's rested Carolina in this game. And I still think they're better a little bit than Winnipeg. So I do lean Carolina here at even money in this one. Alex, your thoughts on Canes and Jets?
I don't have much of an opinion on this matchup. And this card ended up being a lot bigger than I thought it would be for me. So I'm just going to pass on this one.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, we move on now to the New York Rangers and the Chicago Blackhawks. This is a rematch. These teams just faced each other over the weekend. The New York Rangers now -125 road favorites in the Windy City, 5.5 the total in this game. You look at the Rangers, obviously we know how well this team's playing. Not an easy team to go against. Six straight victories here for the New York Rangers. It's just been an absolutely outstanding run of hockey for them during this span. And what's been impressive is, you know, they saw obviously the injury to Igor Shesterkin, and we're looking at him being out until at least the middle of this month is the current indication. And we've seen Alexander Georgiev, who prior to having to take over as the number one goalie, you know, with this Igor Shesterkin injury, prior to that, he was not good this year for the New York Rangers. He was really scuffling in between the pipes, but he pitches a third period shutout against San Jose on Friday night in relief of an injured Shesterkin. That was the game he got hurt. And then against Chicago on the Saturday night, 3-2 victory for the Rangers in that game, and a solid performance from Georgiev. So he's two good starts. Can he keep it going here? We'll see. Here's my theory, though. And normally I don't love betting against teams that are on win streaks like this, but I think I might make an exception here tonight with the Chicago Blackhawks as small home dogs. This is now a second look for Chicago. You know, they're going to see the same goalie now for the second straight game. Is there going to be some adjustments made? I would think so. for the Blackhawks going into this game. And you got to give Chicago their credit. You know, even the games that they're losing, you know, they're right in every single hockey game for the most part. Their record since Derek King took over behind the bench is still very good, 8-4 in their last 12 games for the Chicago Blackhawks. And you got to like the way Fleury's playing right now for the Blackhawks in net. Here's a guy that's kind of turned things around for them as of late and really coincided with the coaching change. You know, just like with the whole Chicago team that's played a little bit better since Derek King's been there, the Blackhawks goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury's played a lot better as well during that recent stretch. In his last eight starts, he has a 1.71 goals against average and a 6-2 record for Chicago. So I'm doing it. I'm going to take Chicago here, home dog. I think this could be the end of the streak here for the Rangers. At some point, there's going to be a game where, you know, Georgiev gets maybe victimized a little bit. And I think it just sets up situationally. Look, you just faced a team. You had a good start against them. But now that same team is going to get a second crack at you tonight. You know, how are you going to fare this time around? Maybe not quite as good. As far as goal scorer props, Brandon Hagel, man, how do you not? I mean, how do you not right now with him for the Chicago Blackhawks? This guy, you know, is underpriced in the goal scorer prop market. He's been excellent in terms of finding the back of the net lately for the Blackhawks. You look at his numbers, they've been terrific. He scored at least one goal now in four of the last seven games for the Chicago Blackhawks. And you get usually in that plus 300 to plus 350 range with him to score. So that is a goal scorer prop with absolute value right now for the Chicago Blackhawks. So nothing on the total. This actually could be a good under if Georgiev plays well, because I think Fleury will play well, even against a very potent Rangers offense. But I'm going to just stick to the side here. Chicago as a small home dog. Alex, Rangers and Blackhawks.
I got to take a moment because we are in the holiday season, and that means Festivus is also upon us. So an airing of a grievance that I have with the Hawks. The other day, they end up getting into an overtime game. 3-2 win, I should say, against the Islanders. But that game was 2-1 until 2.3 seconds left in regulation. They ended up getting a deflected goal. And that was an absolute killer for me because I had basically no goal to score after the 2-1. And I also had the under 4.5 would have easily cashed basically two seconds away.
That's so rough.
That was a brutal beat for you. Can't really say that often with live bets, but those are two brutal ones. But now, like you mentioned, these two teams played on Saturday at Madison Square Garden. Hawks were really in that game. 4-1's a bit misleading because there was a couple empty net goals late. Hawks were well into that game for the second and most of the third periods. They were playing well defensively. They just couldn't get the offense rolling. Like I said, Georgiev played well. But now, you know, a backup goalie, seeing a team a second time. Hawks playing at home. Hawks seem to be a little bit more comfortable at home lately as well. Kind of dictating the pace that they want. Like I said, they want to, you know, lock down defensively, but they still get some good chances and looks. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Ian, and this is something to definitely note for live wagering. If the Hawks, if they go to overtime, you can pretty much bet them anywhere, whether they're a dog or even a short favorite, because teams are playing scared and waiting for the shootout. The Islanders did nothing in that overtime because they were afraid of that 2-on-1 rush of DeBrincat and Kane, which right now seems to nearly be an automatic goal, whether it happens in regulation or in overtime. So it's something to keep an eye on with those two guys. And if you see the Hawks in overtime, they should probably be favored, whether they're, you know, were struggling in the game early or not.
Yeah, I remember it happening on the Black Friday game against St. Louis, you know, a couple of weeks ago, a 3-2 overtime win. That's exactly what we saw. You know, Kane to DeBrincat, 2-on-1. Game over for Chicago in that game against St. Louis. So that is a dangerous combination. I mean, they're two terrific, skilled, bona fide Team USA Olympic participants, assuming the NHL, of course, does go to the Olympics, which I think is still very much 50-50. You know, I heard Friedman, I heard Darren Drager on TSN say it's about 50-50 right now. It could go either way with that. So it's not set in stone, but obviously two talented forwards for Chicago, two of their best offensive players. You give them a 2-on-1 rush opportunity, you're going to be in trouble more often than not. So very interesting. That's a terrible way to lose those live bets the other night, mentioning that Blackhawks Islanders game. My goodness. Sickening. But yeah, there's been a few of those this year. That's hockey. That's hockey, baby. Like John Forslund says, in a bad way, unfortunately. Can't get excited.
The funny thing, I'm gonna tell you, I was leaning that way. Well, the game was tied and the Hawks got a lead. But the thing that really made me bet that live under was actually Pat Foley. Pat Foley mentioned, he says he never, in his 40 years, as he's wrapping up his career at the end of the season, he says, in 40 years, he says, I rarely made a prediction. He says, I think next goal wins. And sure enough, Hawks have the 2-1 lead, and so I was able to grab plus 155 and under 4.5. And, you know, so he was 2.3 seconds away from getting the prediction right as well. But he saw exactly what I saw in the sense of that, you know, the urgency wasn't there with the Islanders. That's been their issue. And like I said, now noticing, because I noticed this with the Hawks game that went to OT against Washington, where these teams now are fearful of the line of Kane and DeBrincat and Jones on the back end because of how prolific they are just passing the puck around. So that's definitely something I have circled big time. If any of Hawks games go to OT, I'm probably going to be on the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, that stat that Foley mentioned, you know, it made a lot of sense. It's unfortunately, in this instance, just didn't pan out properly. And by the way, I'm going to miss Foley dearly. Everybody will. This is final season with the Blind. Classic. That's one of the best goaltender, you know, save calls of any broadcaster. Yep. It's just his voice is in a different stratosphere whenever there's a big save.
It is.
Particularly by a Chicago goalie. I remember it was Bench Crawford. Yeah. All those years during the Stanley Cup era. But yeah, right. Matt Foley forever, Jarek. Yeah,
yes.
Legend.
Absolutely.
With the Chicago Blackhawks, no doubt. All right, before we get to our last two games, time to mention DraftKings are great partners here at the Hockey Podcast Network and the Ice Guys. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and NHL. You'll be a winner once a single point is scored in NFL action. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If DraftKings Sportsbook isn't available in your state, don't worry, you can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and NHL. Must be 21 years of age or older, must reside in a DraftKings Sportsbook state, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Download the DraftKings app, sign up for an account, use the promo code THPN. All right, we move on to one of the games of the night, for sure, in the NHL with the way these teams have played all year, particularly of late. Minnesota Wild, Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton, minus 125, home favorites here. The total currently 6.5. And this one shaded to the over. Not only a rare 6.5, Alex, but juice to the over. So that tells you, obviously, of the offensive proficiency both of these teams are capable of. And certainly what Minnesota is doing right now offensively is out of this world. The last 9 Minnesota games, 8-1 to the over. They have scored 7-4-4. 3 is their low water mark during this run. And then on the recent homestand, 7-4-5-5-4. So this has just been a goal-scoring machine right now, this Minnesota Wild squad. And it's everybody, you know, that's chipping in offensively at the moment for the Minnesota Wild. Kaprizov, 29 points, 9 goals, 20 assists, 24 games. Ryan Hartman, 21 points, leads the team in goals with 13. And isn't it amazing, too, what a healthy Matt Zuccarello can give you? You know, he's at least stayed healthier this year, and he's got 18 points, including 7 goals already this year for the Minnesota Wild. So this is a team that's rolling right now, 6 straight. Now they're going on the road, okay? And a lot of their best work has been at home. They're actually only 7-5 on the road this year. So I'm not back in Minnesota tonight. And for Edmonton, the automatic bet on Edmonton after a loss finally came to an end on Sunday night, a 5-1 loss to the LA Kings, and really a rough game for them all around. Not good at all defensively. 40 shots that they gave up to the Kings in that game. Not pretty at all whatsoever against LA. Dave Tippett, you know, didn't love their game here. Challenged the players after the 5-1 loss. There are parts of our game that aren't good enough right now. Puck battle stuff, wall battle stuff, execution with the puck, things that allow you to play a lot harder and a lot faster. We're not doing enough of that right now. Our puck play is slow. We're chasing pucks. That's been going on for a long time now. So that's a quote from Tippett saying, I haven't liked our game for a while, but we've gotten away with it because we've been winning. some of these games that maybe we didn't play that great. And now the lackluster play is kind of catching up to the Oilers. And when you start to look at the recent stats here, Alex, you can kind of see why Tippett's gotten concerned. They've been outchanced and outshot in four straight games, you know, even though they won two of those games. So you can see that the level of play is declining just slightly here with Edmonton, particularly on the defensive side of the puck. So will that correct itself? That remains to be seen. When you look at series history with these two teams lately, like I said, it's been pretty over heavy. Edmonton's actually really, really played well head to head against the Edmonton Oilers. Minnesota is 15-3 in the last 18 trips to Edmonton on an overall basis. Minnesota is 5-2 in the last seven meetings against Edmonton. The overs cashed in four of the last five. It's a really tough game from a side perspective. Minnesota's rolling. Don't know if I want to go against them. I don't know if I want to go against Edmonton in this spot at home off two. First time they've lost two in a row all year with their coach basically giving them the gears for the way they played lately, Dave Tippett. So I think both teams bring it. And for me, I'll just stick to goals here in the over at 6.5. What do you think, Alex? Minnesota, Edmonton.
Yeah, this feels like it should be a goal fest. I just don't feel like I really want to get involved with a 6.5. I feel like we can get a better adjusted price with not only the live total, but first period total, because we're seeing twos pop up now. It's hitting that threshold of minus 165, 170. At that point, the books just go two under minus, 215, or I'm sorry, 115, I should say. So I think this would be a game where we could see some increased offense. Obviously, that's just the nature of these two clubs and especially the history against one another. But I would say wait. If you like full game over, first period over, wait a couple minutes. I don't think we're going to see a goal in the first 30 seconds. So you should be able to get some kind of a better adjust, even if it means, you're laying 130 to get six, or you're, laying, 145 to get that 1.5. That's still better than, when you cut a half a goal off.
All right, so maybe wait for a live betting opportunity with the total, says Alex, for the Wild and the Oilers. That could be good. I mean, you just wait that, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes in the first period, and if there's no goal, you'll find a 5.5. You will. Honestly, you will. It proves to be this way so often in the NHL, especially with these games that are lined at 6.5 with the total before the game. Take that chance. Maybe wait for 5 minutes into the game, see if that live total drops to 5.5. And it's amazing. It's how quickly it'll drop to 5.5. You won't have to wait long, just a few minutes, and you'll see 5.5.
Now, the danger of with this, because of it dropping 6.5, 6, 5.5, you will have a short window for that 5.5 at a plus price. But they're going to really kind of fluctuate. That's the one time that it kind of does like how the NFL, where how the drive's going, and they give you 3 points, they take away six, vice versa. So you got to be really quick with catching a full game total that's at 6.5, because it could drop to 5.5, but then it can pop right back through to six. So you got to be, have your units already in mind and have everything set so you can just hit okay right away.
Yeah, definitely. And just be ready, but be quick on that trigger, because they'll freeze the live betting odds as soon as a goal happens, as soon as it happens. And I find often it happens especially when I'm actively involved in live betting, the sports book will freeze the screen for a goal, like even 5 seconds before I actually see the goal on television or the feed I'm watching. Yep.
Yeah, always try to have a feed that's as close to update as possible. And I would recommend this too. Like I said, I wrote a whole article about this, but have your laptop and your phone set, because sometimes just your it doesn't have to be your connection, but just a server, something to get through quicker. I know for me, if I bet through my phone live, it goes through about maybe 1.5 seconds quicker than it does on my computer.
Yeah, absolutely. No disagreement there. There's definitely, it's not only where you bet, how you bet, but what technology you use exactly in terms of live betting and how best to take advantage of it. All right, we've got our final game here, Calgary-San Jose. We've got Calgary minus 145, road favorites here, 5.5 the total in this game. There was an old commercial for Labatt Blue in Canada when I was growing up as a kid. And the motto was tried and true, you bet it's blue. This is what I always heard. It was a commercial I saw all the time when I was growing up as a kid. This may not be one of my better analogies, but I'm going to use it anyway, and especially because Labatt Blue had the word bet in that catchphrase of theirs, tried and true, you bet it's blue. Well, in this game, tried and true, your bet should be fading San Jose off a road trip. That's tried and true right now going into this game tonight for the San Jose Sharks. Here we go again. I mean, San Jose off a five-game road trip, through Chicago, New Jersey, Islanders, Rangers, and Columbus. I mean, how many years do we have to watch San Jose hockey, and how many times do we have to see this spot play out time and time and time again before you realize you just go against this team off a road trip? They had a five-game road trip in October, came home against Montreal, a bad Montreal team. What happened? Oh, they got shut out 4-0 in that game. They returned home off a five-game road trip in November, which ended in St. Louis, came home and played Washington. What happened in that game? Also shut out by a score of 4-0 in that game. And now here we go again, five-game road trip for San Jose, and now they return home. And not only do they return home off a road trip, face a Calgary team that's been one of the better teams in the NHL for the last, you know, all season, but especially of late. And a Calgary team that's coming off a loss, 3-2 to the Vegas Golden Knights in their last game on Sunday. And a team I'm sure is going to be looking to bounce back here. They've been good off a loss, the Flames as well. Their numbers in that role, I guess you could say, 4-1 on the road following a defeat this year, the Calgary Flames. We know their road record overall is magnificent, 11-5 in 16 road games this year. And for Calgary, this Andrew Mangiapane train, in terms of him scoring on the road, I've been riding that quite a bit. It's been remarkable to see just how majority of his goals have been away from home this year for him. And he just continues to find ways to score. Already on this road trip, he did get blanked in the Anaheim game on this road trip, but he scored a goal, also had an assist against LA, and then scored one of the two goals for Calgary in the game against Vegas on Sunday night. So how do you not take Andrew Mangiapane to score on the road right now for this Calgary Flames team? He just keeps finding a way to light the lamp. I'm going to be a little bit more conservative in this game. Now, San Jose, by the way, they're starting to come back down to earth. They didn't end that road trip great. 1-0 and 6-4, 1-0 loss to the Rangers, 6-4 loss to Columbus. So, and now they come home, and they only have the key thing too with this bet against spot for San Jose as well, Alex, is just the one day, you know, following the final game of that road trip, one day off only following that final game of the road trip against Columbus. So not a lot of downtime to decompress, get your shit together, get readjusted to being back home in the Pacific time zone again. And that makes these kind of spots even tougher. So I like Calgary here, but I'm going to play it a little more conservative. Just going to lay the straight full game money line here, -145. If you want to go with in regulation for a little bit more value, I wouldn't argue with that, but I'm going to play it a little more conservative here. Calgary -145 in this one. Alex, Flames and Sharks.
Yeah, you know, we all kind of have our own signature plays. I feel like this is one that we both share as a signature. Fading San Jose off of a road trip, it's something that, like you said, tried and true for well over a decade at this point now. And I'm going to go with that in regulation with Calgary, that and I got it at even money. I think you can find +105 minus $1.05. So shop around for that, sure, in that range. But you said Calgary won 7 of the last 9. And they just seem to be in the better form. And now with San Jose, I said this is always a flat spot for them. And I don't know what it is about it, because like I said, they've played teams where that team was specifically on their last trek of the road trip, and they still managed to struggle and lose. So like I said, it's just and then having one day as opposed to two or three, which they tend to normally do. It's usually 2 or 3 days off when they get back, being a West Coast team. But like I said, one day off, that makes it even worse. So I think this could be a blowout kind of game. I'm not gonna lay the goal and a half, just in case. So I'm still being kind of conservative, but not as conservative as you. I'm going to take Calgary Flames in regulation.
All right, there we go. Calgary in regulation for Alex in this game against the Sharks. You know what I like too? Calgary lost at home the one previous meeting against San Jose this year. They lost at home 4-1. So I think, you know, it sets up well that, hey, we lost to these guys the last time we played them. And of course, we lost Sunday night to Vegas. So I think you get that focus here for Calgary, and maybe a chance to jump on this jet-lagged San Jose team. And we know San Jose just haven't had their legs under them in any previous home game off a five-game or longer road trip, which this is the exact situation tonight. Blake Coleman, he has shot the puck a shit ton, and he has not been rewarded for it, but he's finally scored on, I believe in the Anaheim game it was, he found the back of the net. I think there's some value with him as well, goal scorer prop for Calgary. Blake Coleman, I mean, his shots on goal are insane, how many pucks he's fired at the net, and he probably should have more goals than he's had so far this year. So Blake Coleman for Calgary might be a good value goal scorer prop tonight in this game as well. All right, great stuff, Alex. That's the Tuesday NHL card. Great show. Thanks to everyone for joining us. We appreciate it. Hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. We greatly appreciate it for the support. I mean, the viewership numbers on YouTube and the podcast download numbers on for the podcast version of the Ice Guys, they keep on going up. And it can't be done without your support. And we definitely appreciate you guys tuning in and joining us 7 days a week right here on the Ice Guys NHL Hockey Betting Show. All right, it was a great night collectively on the show yesterday. A lot of wins. A lot of the viewers and listeners cashed in big on Monday night. A great night of NHL betting for pretty much everybody across the board. Let's see if we can try to duplicate that for this big 10-game Tuesday night NHL card. Best bet time. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, just want to make a quick mention about the Ice Guys story. You can check it out at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. For the next 2 days, there's a coupon code for 15% off everything. So if you've been delaying your holiday gift purchasing, you better do that now and take advantage of that coupon while it's up for the next 48 hours. My best bet for tonight will be the Hawks. We're here in Chicago. We're going to watch the game. It's going to be a good time. I think the Hawks should take care of business and get revenge on the New York Rangers after that loss at MSG on Saturday. So Hawks plus 110 on the money line. That's my best bet tonight.
All right, Chicago plus 110 against the New York Rangers. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. And that's no homer bet or opinion because I like Chicago as well in that game. But it's not best bet for me. Best bet for me is going to be the game we just talked about. Calgary minus 145 against San Jose. Just tried and true. You know, we got a Calgary team facing a San Jose team off a long road trip. They're 0-2 in this spot. Identical 4-0 losses to Montreal and Washington at home off a road trip of 5 games or more. That's just this season for San Jose. That doesn't factor in last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, six. Yeah, you get my point, right? San Jose's just been dreadful off a long road trip at home for a very long time now. Let's go Calgary minus. Actually, there's some minus 140s starting to pop up. So a little San Jose money. So minus 140. Is out there right now with the Flames. We'll go with that for my Tuesday best bet. Calgary minus 140 against San Jose for my best bet for this Tuesday card. And that'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everybody for joining us. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week on YouTube, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Download the podcast when you can't watch the Ice Guys live. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.